Do you remember where you were when you heard that Coventry was going to be City of Culture for 2021? Because I certainly remember where I was when I heard Hull was going to be City of Culture 2017. I was actually working as the press officer for the Diocese of York at the time. And journalist phoned me up when it was announced that Hull was going to be City of Culture to get a quote from the Bishop of Hull, who was part of the diocese. And I really hate to break this to you, but when you read quotes from bishops in newspapers, they're very often not written by the bishop. They're written by some little press officer sitting in an office making all this stuff up themselves. I normally would check it with the bishop. But actually on that day, I hadn't prepared anything for this journalist, so I actually had to phone up the Bishop of Hull and see what he wanted to say. Imagine that. Because I just hadn't expected Hull would get it. That year we were up against Leicester, and I was so sure Leicester was going to be City of Culture, I hadn't even bothered to prepare a quote about Hull. And I think that a lot of other people were quite surprised when Hull was announced as UK City of Culture. I remember somebody on Twitter saying, "I've just heard Hull is a City of Culture. It must be due to that half-eaten yoghurt I left in town on Thursday." So as I worked as the press officer and started helping the churches of Hull think, how are they going to do something with this idea of this City of Culture? I got more and more interested in it. And I decided to leave my nice, fairly well-paid job, it was a diocese after all, and go and study it. So I studied Hull and City of Culture and the churches for my PhD. And so what I'm going to share with you is what I discovered then. So to find out what the churches thought about City of Culture and what God might be doing in Hull in 2017, I thought I'd better talk to some people on the ground and find out what they think. So I interviewed 20 church leaders from across the city and its different churches, so different bits of the city and different denominations. I had 7 Anglicans, 3 independent evangelicals, 3 Roman Catholics, 2 Pentecostals, 1 Methodist, 1 Baptist, 1 Danish Lutheran, 1 Quaker, and 1 URC. Slightly like Pokemon. I felt I had to catch them all. It was quite exciting. When I got the Danish Lutheran, that was amazing. I didn't know there were Danish Lutherans in Hull. So I interviewed them twice, once before City of Culture happened and once afterwards, to try and find out what they thought, what happened, what the churches did, and whether anything changed during that year. And before I started my research, I came in with a bit of an assumption. I assumed that the more liberal churches would be really positive about culture in Hull, and that the more conservative churches might see human culture as something a bit problematic, possibly a bit sinful even. And so this was sort of what I was half expecting to find when I started my interviews. And it's something that the theologian Stephen Bevans writes about, if you've ever read his book, Models of Contextual Theology. I imagine Vaughan has, you can test him on it later. He describes those sort of two sort of positions as sitting along a spectrum. So churches that are really positive about human culture, they might take a lot of theological prominence on experiences in the present, on human experience. And churches that are more skeptical about human culture might come from a more conservative tradition, value scripture and tradition a bit more. But this wasn't what I found at all. I found that almost all of my participants, despite their denominational differences, were all hugely positive about culture in Hull in 2017 and the relationship between culture and God. They all saw culture as a thing or a place where God could allow people to flourish. They saw God at work in Hull in 2017. And this is something that I really find echoes of in the reading that we had, Paul in the Areopagus. Prior to that story in Acts 17, Paul has been in Thessalonica, where the Jews who were opposed to the message he was preaching started to stir the crowds up against him. And so the believers, the new believers, put him on a boat and shipped him off to Athens. And when he gets to Athens, I think, it doesn't say, but I think Paul must have spent quite a bit of time getting to know the culture of Athens. He clearly visits the temples, and he looks very closely at the statues. And when he gets into conversation with these Epicurean and Stoic philosophers who invite him to come up and speak at the Areopagus, Paul uses the example of a statue dedicated to an unknown god. And he uses that statue to talk about the Christian God. Now, that probably won't have been a very big statue. The big temples and big statues in Athens were probably, well, Athena and Zeus and all your big guys in the Greek pantheon. But there's this one statue to an unknown god, and in that statue, I think Paul sees the presence of the Christian God, but unknown and unarticulated. I think Paul sees God at work in Athens, even if the Athenians don't know it yet. And he also quotes the Greek poet Epimenides. And he quotes the poet talking about Zeus. And the poet's line, which I love, it's one of my favourite bits of the Bible, and I was really surprised to go, oh, okay, that's a Greek poet talking about Zeus. In him we live and move and have our being. And this is something that a Greek poet wrote about Zeus. But in that, Paul sees, actually, that's about the Christian God, isn't it? He sees in that Athenian understanding of Zeus a deeper knowledge about the Christian God. So, if God's at work in Athens, in strange, mysterious, underground ways, what's God doing in Hull in 2017? Probably not as foreign and exotic as Athens. I don't know how many of you know Hull, and it'll be really interesting to compare that. I'll just very share briefly some of the stuff, a bit about Hull. It'd be really interesting to see if you see similarities or differences with Coventry. I think the biggest similarity is what happened to them in the war. I mean, obviously, I think people still think about Coventry and the bombing. Hull was very badly bombed in the Second World War, receiving more damage, I think, than Coventry. But the people of Hull felt very cross that people didn't realise that across the rest of the UK. A really repeated theme for me in my interviews was people didn't know what happened to Hull in the Second World War, how badly we were hit. So it's a city that received a lot of damage in the Second World War. The fishing industry, after the Cod Wars in the 1960s and 70s, the fishing industry in Hull closed, and the previous fishing communities were dispersed and relocated into outer estates on the edge of the city. So their sense of community was dislocated. And it suffered very badly in the so-called slum clearances of the 60s and 70s as well, communities being really broken up. And obviously in sort of subsequent decades, the 80s, obviously a lot of the North suffered. I think Hull was already quite badly economically affected by that point. So I think there's the sense when somebody says, well, why is this city a city of culture? We're already understanding something about the word culture, that culture means nice things. And Hull doesn't have nice things, so why is this a city of culture? But what my participants saw was God very strongly at work in Hull in 2017. And one of the first things was this sense of reconciliation, of reconciling Hull to its past. One of the first things that happened in Hull in 2017 was there was a big Son et Lumière sound and light projection in the big square in Hull, with all the sort of big museums and civic buildings and all that. And there was a light show projected on all of the buildings and an accompanying soundtrack. So it's telling the story of Hull through the ages. And that seemed to have a huge effect on the city and on my participants. They really saw God at work through this event, which told the story of Hull and it acknowledged a lot of the pain that Hull had felt from the bombings in the Blitz, from actually the fishing industry itself. More men died in the fishing industry than in the mining industry. Fishing industry is a more dangerous industry than mining. And there was one particular scene where on the outside of these buildings this was projected sort of drawings of trawlers floating, as it were, on top of the sea. And then all these bodies start falling down through the sea, all the trawlermen who drowned over the centuries and decades. And one of my participants described being in the square when that was happening, and this little kid saying to his granddad, "Granddad, was it really like that?" And granddad saying, "Yes, it was. We lost friends and family in this industry." And I think that event, which was called Made in Hull, it allowed Hull to acknowledge its pain. And I'd be really interested to hear if Coventry holds pain in the same way that Hull did over this. Because I think having that pain resolved right at the start of the year was very powerful for the city. And there was a reconciliation with the city, with its past. And it allowed that story to be heard throughout the rest of the country. And Hull started being reconciled to the rest of the country. Something that made a huge effect on the people of Hull is, if you look on the weather map now, you see the word Hull. If you look next time the weather's on, go and have a look over on the east coast and see if it's got the word Hull on the coast. Hull literally became on the map in 2017, and that helped people of Hull let go of some of that hurt. And it had a profound effect. My participant who was telling me about that started crying in our interview when he remembered the effect that that had. There was also the sense of reconciliation between previously antagonistic groups within the city. There was the Bullnose Trawler Group and the Hull Heritage Fishing Industry Boat. So two groups of ex-trawlermen dedicated to preserving the city's fishing heritage. And it, for those of you who remember your Monty Python, it was a bit People's Front of Judea and Judea People's Front. They were not friends. But during the City of Culture, they were brought together in a church, not dissimilar from this one, to come together to hold one big exhibition about the fishing industry. And they started being reconciled. And the priest who I was talking to about that one said, it wasn't what he expected. He'd expected City of Culture to sort of be art exhibitions and concerts and all that sort of thing, and bringing this nice culture stuff to the people of Hull. And actually what they discovered was reconciliation. So I think that's quite interesting. Another one, one of my participants who was an Anglican, felt that... you know, lots of different people, lots of different denominations, but this chap felt that God had resurrected Hull in 2017. He said, "I've seen God in the City of Culture, in the renewal and the resurrection, that hope, that inspiration, definitely, definitely. It was a whole spiritual thing going on, but not in the conventional churches of Hull. It's not about that, is it?" So we didn't see sort of people, spiritual renewal in the sense of people pouring into the churches and revival and all that. But people, something spiritual was happening. People's self-esteem was being lifted. And I think that's one of the biggest transformations from Hull, is people's self-esteem was lifted. That Hull, which, you know, there's culture there, it must be because we left that pot of yoghurt in the town centre, suddenly becomes something special. And people become very proud of that. And another participant said about that, "I think God wants people to have self-esteem and self-belief. I mean, there are massive issues in society about identity, and we've got a really positive message to proclaim about our identity." Well, it's the heart of the Christian gospel, isn't it? We don't write people off. You know, people have a fresh start. And that's what they saw happening in Hull, this fresh start, reconciliation, resurrection, rebirth. But... did it happen everywhere? Did it happen as deeply as it could? I think one of the criticisms about City of Culture in Hull could be that it was very city-centric. If you'd ever driven in Hull before, a lot of the roads were just gridlock and, you know, potholes and everything. And after 2017, all the streets in Hull city centre look really nice. But there's still a lot of outer estates where a lot less happened. So I think that would be interesting for you as people watching Coventry. What happens? Where is this happening? Is it in the city centre? Is it in the outer estates? Where is this stuff taking place? And that thing, that what is this culture thing? It's a really tricky word to pin down. I asked my participants what they thought culture was. And they almost always replied with things to do with art and opera and ballet. And then they'd say, oh, but Hull doesn't have those things. One of my participants said that Hull had a very denuded culture and that they felt very strongly that this was a result of economic deprivation. And I also asked them about, well, how do you learn about culture as a vicar, as a minister, as a pastor? How do you learn about this stuff? And it's not really taught in theological college. They do a lot about the Bible, and I think there's a sort of assumption that first century equates to 21st century, and those things are very equal. And I think that sort of leads to a bit of dilemma. My participants saw God working through the culture of Hull in events like Made in Hull and the fishing exhibition. God was working through this culture. But Hull doesn't have culture because it doesn't have opera. And there's this real tangle around this word culture. What do we think it means? And if it's something you're interested, I'm a tutor, I'm a teacher, so I have to give book recommendations, it's what we do. I would really advise you read a book called What Makes a Good City by Stephen Lowe and Elaine Graham. And of all the theology books out there, and this is really, it's a good one, it's not hard read at all, trust me. There's very few that talk about city of culture. And this one actually does, it's got a chapter on it. And they talk about, Elaine and Stephen examine that city of culture project, asking whether churches have a role to play in challenging top-down regeneration strategies. I don't know what it's like in Coventry, whether you feel that needs regeneration, but I think the idea of city of culture coming to Hull was that it would regenerate it. The streets would be nice and people would want to come and move there and open little businesses there selling art and coffee and all this sort of stuff. And it's a bit top-down. It often sticks in the city centre and doesn't actually go out to the poorer estates or the poorer areas around. And Stephen and Elaine ask, what's the role of churches within City of Culture? Are they there to challenge? Are they there to support? And I think what they call for in the end is for churches to engage critically and constructively. That churches have a role to play in what they call nurturing effective discipleship, to foster individuals' pride in their own stories and experiences of worthy of inclusion in a wider narrative of identity and aspiration. And I think my churches did that. In Hull, my churches, you get a bit over-enthusiastic. The churches in Hull did this. They helped people identify where their story was within that bigger narrative, that their story was worthy of inclusion, that those fishermen, their story was an important one to tell, even though it wasn't high culture like art or ballet. Elaine and Stephen recommend that churches can build up congregations to contribute actively to a cultural renaissance by hosting cultural events or fostering the collective memory of a neighbourhood. I love that idea, fostering the collective memory of a neighbourhood. I had one of my participants was a Methodist minister who said, this particular street is really Methodist. He says they don't come to church, but when they need the children doing, they always come to me because Nana was Methodist. And there's this sort of little cultural identities about particular areas. And again, I think my church has had that role of hosting cultural events. Hull Minster was brilliant in that. The mystery plays associated with Hull are the Noah stories, very appropriate for a fishing town. There's lots of water near Hull. And so they did that. But the areas where I found they didn't do what Elaine and Stephen recommend was in the more challenging stuff. Challenging that idea about whose city is this and whose culture is this. That if you're, I mean, for example, the team who delivered a lot of the City of Culture project in Hull were the same people who did the London 2012 Olympics. So you've got people from London telling people in Hull what their culture is. And I'd be really interested to find out who's doing what in Coventry, who's telling what story. And Elaine and Stephen also call for churches to be wary of versions of culture that aren't ideological, exploitative, or unsustainable. A lot of events in Hull were sponsored by BP, British Petroleum. And I think there was the sense that this was a necessary evil, that Hull needed the money to put these events on, so we'll take it from BP. And only one of my participants, who was a Quaker actually, it was part of a group that went to every single event and said, and protest, every single event sponsored by BP and protested and said, your money is killing communities in the South Pacific. We shouldn't be taking this money. Now, he might be right, he might be wrong, but I think the church has a role of challenge in this as well. Whose culture is being told and at whose expense? And the reason that I think my church has perhaps struggled to do this is because they'd not been taught about culture as ministers. That conversation had never been opened for them at theological college. So oddly, I think they lacked, and you know, this isn't something you associate with vicars and ministers a lot, but I think they lacked a bit of confidence to challenge some of the more negative stuff and to articulate, what do we mean when we talk about culture? Is it just all good, nice things? Opera and ballet? Is it a place where God can meet us? Whose story is being told and where? And I think if I have any words of advice from what I saw in Hull to bring to Coventry, it would be keep wrestling with those questions. Be prepared to challenge what might not be culture which allows people to flourish and have life in all its fullness, but also be prepared to see God at work in areas which might surprise you, just as Paul found God in the statue of the unknown God, and my participants saw God at work in that Sonne Lumiere show and the trawlermen, the pictures of them drifting and drowning down. Be prepared to see God in unexpected places in Coventry in 2021, and get ready to join in.